what happened to our... Oh my gosh. Okay, Boker Tov world and Shavua Tov, California. Today's daf in the Sechet Chulin brought to you from Yerushalayim here. No, actually, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh. Is daf nun beit, and we are holding at the Shtaber Rov Tzilo Oteha. So we learned yesterday all of the dinim of birds, and the last thing that we heard was about a bird that was caught on a glue stick. That's not the kind of glue stick that your kids take to school. It's a glue stick that is put on trees for birds to alight on and to fall if they try to escape. So that ended the Drusa, the Nefula, and now we're going into the Shavura. So Shavura was Nishtabru Rov Tzilaoteha. Most of the ribs are broken. So Tana Rabbana, what means the word most of the ribs? Elohim Rov Tzilaot, Shesh Mikan, V'Shesh Mikan, V'Chadasre Mikan, V'Achas Mikan, however you work it out, the majority of the ribs are six ribs. Now, this isn't really true, but we're going to see that what we're recalling ribs over here are not just any ribs. They are the major ribs that have significant moach in those ribs. So they have marrow in the ribs. And that, even though there's really 13 pairs of ribs, but only, most told, only the first 11 we have on each side. But it's a machlokas, I'd say. We don't include the first and the last. Moshi to say we don't include the smaller ribs. So only 22 of these ribs have moach, as the Gemara is going to say. And therefore, if you have a total of the 11, you're going to end up, no matter how, a majority would be 12. If you have a total of 12, whether it's all of one side and one of the other, or whether it's between the two sides, doesn't matter. But when we say broken, what do we mean broken? I mean, just mean any old place on a rib that breaks is going to be such a disaster. Omer Zairi, of course not. It means mechetzel kape shidra. When we say most of the ribs were broken, it's not just when they say somebody has a broken rib. It means that it's from the middle part of the rib towards the spine, which is the main support of the rib. That's where it is considered to be a shivura. Omer Rabba Bar Bachodam, Rabbi Yochanan. And, as we mentioned earlier, we're only talking about the tzla'ot ha-gidolot, sheyesh behem moach. We're talking about marrow ribs only, which is why the rov is 12. Otherwise, we have actually an additional, we'd have to worry about 23 ribs in total. Omer Rabba Bar Bachana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Tzla'ot gidolot, sheyesh behem moach. Now, the question is, broken ribs, there's is one way to go. How about if a rib actually broke off of the spine? Omar Ula ben Zakkai, or Omar Ula ben Zakkai Omar, Rashi says he doesn't know who specifically his ben Zakkai is, certainly is not Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. But in any event, if ne'ekru berov tzad echad, that then is ne'ekru, you don't need a rov of shnei tzadim. It's only nishtabri that you need rov shnei tzadim. But if they were uprooted, which we'll discuss exactly, there's different ways we could understand this uprooted. But if most of them were uprooted from the spine, so then it's a trefa, even if it's just six ribs, because that would be a rov of just one side, and that would be sufficient. But nishtabru, if you're talking about broken ribs, like we said, so then you're right. Then we need rov tzla'ot, meaning of both sides of ribs, which gives us a total of 12. Rib Yochanan Omar makes no difference bein ekru, bein nishtabru. The shear of the Mishnah is the shear, no matter how it broke, whether it broke in the middle, or it was actually ne'akar, it was pulled out completely from the spinal column. So remember that these ribs are attached. They come in pairs, and they're attached to the vertebrae, and you actually have, between each vertebrae, there's a hole that the rib goes into. And in the case that we're talking about over here, if one of these vertebrae broke, and the rib that was together with it, we're going to be talking about, there's two ways that this can happen. It could be one rib on one side, and that part of the vertebrae breaks, Or it might be referring to both sides, which we'll see. Obviously, if we have Rove, then there's got to be a place where we have both sides that the ribs were broken, or in this case, neck grew. So that's going to complicate matters a bit, but the Gemara will get into this. So Omar Rav, if it was actually ripped out, the rib came out and the vertebrae that it had been attached to was actually pulled out with it. So with one of the vertebrae, you had a rib pulled out, then that single rib would actually make it a treif. So Amri le Rav Kahana, Rav Asi le Rav, what about if just the rib was pulled out, but the entire vertebra was not touched? So nekra tzela mikan, v'tzela mikan, v'chuya kayemet. How about if it was pulled out carefully without destroying the vertebra? So would it be over here also? Would you say that that would be a treifa? Omar lohu, so Rav said to them, what are you, nuts? Gistra kamritu. You're talking about a case where, for all intents and purposes, you've got this animal cut into two parts. Because if you pulled out both sides of the ribs, so then you're talking about a non-continuous body that is not able to take care of any of the organs that are in. There's no shielding. The ribs are there for obviously very important reasons. That's what supports and protects all of the internal organs. And if you're talking about the case that we had earlier, where you take a sword and you cut straight through the animal, that's essentially what you did over here. And we said before that a gistera, the din of a gistera, is that it is a walking dead, and it actually is metame like an avela. So therefore, in the case that you're asking, where there were no ribs on either side in one place, then the din would be that it's a nevela. Why are you asking me about treifa? Wait a minute. I don't understand. Rav himself, this all started with Rav saying that the rib was pulled out together with the vertebrae. Now, I don't understand. So he said that's a treifa. Now he's yelling at them that this is a nevela. I don't understand. So then his own case was a case that he should have called it a gistra. So why did he say it's a treifa? And what's he upset about over here? No. What makes you think that? Rav said a tsela, but he didn't say the attached huya. He said if the tsela was removed, that makes it a treifa. But that was talking about a case where it was not pulled out together with the vertebra that was going down the spine. What do you mean he wasn't? He says he was. Read what he said. He said, tsela v'chuya. He said, the rib together with the attached vertebrae. No. But what that means, it means the half of the vertebrae that was attached to that rib. He doesn't mean that the spine was missing an entire vertebrae. And therefore, he was talking about tsela v'chatsi chuya. That's what he was talking about. Okay, so then what did Rav Kahana, Rav Asi ask him? When they were asking Rav, they were talking about the idea of no chulia. They were talking about a tzela below chulia. We're assuming if they are building their question on what Rav had originally said. And since Rav had said that if only part of it was removed, it was a treifa, they obviously weren't asking what would be the din if both sides were removed. That would be silly. They already knew that even one side is a treifa. So what were they asking? They must have been asking something different. So they must have asked, what would be the din if both ribs were actually nekra, but none of the chuya was taken out, right? Otherwise, how could they possibly ask Rav what the din would be about two ribs if Rav just said even one rib? So the only thing that's left to understand is that Rav Kahana, Rav Asi were talking about removal of rib without the chuya, and Rav said that in such a case, it's a gistera. But Ula, remember, started off our whole discussion today by saying, the Omar Ula, Ben Zakai Omar, Nekra Barov Tzad Echad, Nishtapru Barov Shnei Tzadim, that even if it's Nekar, you would still need to have six ribs out of the 11 that would be pulled out. So if Ben Zakkai said that you need six to make a treifa, so if you have two, how could that make a treifa? And how would Rav have said, no, that's worse, that's even an Avela? I'm losing the understanding here completely. Well, that's not a problem, because there may be an obvious difference between Zeh Keneged Zeh and Zeh Shelo Keneged Zeh. Where were they located? When Ben Zakkai said that in order for it to be a treifa, you need to have six, which is the rov of one tzad, that would be talking about Shelo Keneged Zeh. It's not that there was a gistra tzad, it was cut straight through. There was one rib up towards the head, another rib towards the middle, and so on. But no place where there were two ribs missing, one Keneged the other. Mashenkin, Rav Kahana, Rav Asi, you were talking about what would be the case if it were Keneged Zeh. So the entire section is missing, the pair is missing, and maybe that's what we're talking about, that Rav said that's considered to be a gistra. No, that's ridiculous. Because what was the shear that we said? Whether, remember Rabbi Yochanan says, doesn't matter whether it's broken or whether it's nekar, it doesn't matter. The shear is always rov. Now, if you have rov of shnei tzadim, I got news for you. There's no way that you're not going to have one connected the other, right? Obviously, no matter how you square it, there's going to be at least one pair. If you're dealing with rov, there's going to be one pair that's gone. Okay. So, and he said that that is considered to be a treifa. He didn't say anything about it's being an avela. And obviously just one pair that's missing is not going to be anything because Rav Yochanan said it's not going to even be a treifa unless you have rov. So what's going on? We've got like three different shitas over here, all of which seem to be talking about a different reality. Ah, that's because you haven't sufficiently defined the case. In Rabbi Yochanan's case, we were talking about the buchna below asita. We were talking about the ball of the rib, but not the socket of the rib. This is we're talking about a mortar or a pestle, right? So over here, what we're saying is the buchna, which is we're comparing to the pestle, which is the ball of the rib that fits into the socket. That is what Rabbi Yochanan was talking about, that nothing of the socket was damaged. Mashenkin, what the case of that we're talking about over here with Rav Kahana, Rav Asi wanted to know, is it considered to be a treifa? And Rav responded, treifa? What are you talking about, man? That would even be an avela because it's a gistra. They were talking about where both the buchna and the asuta, so both ribs on either side were pulled out together with a part, which we're calling over here the mortar, the socket, was pulled out as well. And that's where Rav said it was an avela. So I don't get it. So then they were asking Rav about the same case that Rav spoke about. Rav was talking, according to the way you just understood it, Rav was talking about a case if the tzela was taken out together, you said, with part of the vertebrae, right? That's what you said. Because, I mean, Rav obviously holds if the whole vertebrae is missing, then you basically are dealing with a gistra. So Rav already said that even one rib is already, if it's pulled out in that fashion, is considered to be a treifa. So why are they asking Rav, well, what would you say about two ribs? That's silly. So what was Rav Kahana, Rav Asi asking about? I mean, now that we're saying that we've adjusted the case, the only case that's left is the case that they're talking about is where they did remove part of the vertebrae. If you took both sides, so then how could they ask Rav something that he had already said? No, they didn't know. They didn't hear anything from Rav. They were coming with a blank slate. They wanted to know from Rav what the din would be if you took out two ribs. I don't understand. So then why are they asking him about two? If they never heard what the din was about one, shouldn't they ask him what's the din about one? It only makes sense to ask Rav about two if they heard Rav Paskin about the din of one, that one is a treifa. But then they're asking two, what would the din be of two? Maybe that it should be an avela. But instead they're asking, you said they didn't hear what Rav said. So then they should ask, Rav, what's the din of one rib that is taken out with its associated piece of the vertebrae? So they should have asked him the case. They did, in a way. See, the thing is, we have lost any respect for language, you see. So therefore, you can blabble and blabble and blabble and blabble as much as you want. However, when people are makpid on learning Torah b'derech k'tzara and not wasting a single word, then you remember that language has more than words. Language has intonations. So they figured they would ask a question which was much more efficient in terms of the information content. So they figured, Liboy mine choda de parish long tarte. Let's ask Rav one question which will answer two completely different situations. Because if we ask Rav, what's the din? If one of the ribs, because they hadn't heard it, if we ask Rav what's the din if one of them ribs is missing, the iba ina mine choda, what if it was nekar together with part of the chulia? And he answered us, we would only possibly get half an answer. Because if he says to us that it's trefa, okay, so then we don't have to ask him about two. But what if he says it's not a trefa? Then, Yamar Lam Kishera, we still don't have the information about two. If we ask him two, so then we'll know. What? What are you talking about? And now, if you ask him two, and he says two is a trefa, so now you don't know one. So you're not getting any more efficient. Yochi Hashtanani, you're asking him to kabo emine tarate. You're asking him what would be the dinners if two ribs were removed. So, okay, if he tells you that two ribs are kosher, so then you know, oh, for sure, one rib is kosher. But if he says to you, Drefa, you're still not going to know what the din is about one rib. Akate chada mi boile, right? Ah, but you see, they figured if the din would be that even one rib would have been Drefa, then when we asked him two ribs, he would get angry at us. And he would say it in a tone of, what a bunch of idiots. So we want to make sure that we get both answers. And if he says to us, hey, you nuts, what's wrong with you? So then we would know, oh, so obviously one. So why bother asking one? If he just answers and says it's trefa, so then we know two is trefa, one is kosher. But if he says, idiots, it's for sure trefa. So then we would know that even one is trefa. And that way we have both of our answers. But, okay, let's see the inside. And the Savri, they figured, because if that would be the din, that even one is trefa, so then him came mirtach karotach. He would answer with irritation, and he would say, chod trefa, even one is trefa, as I have thought. Tarte mi boy, what are you asking me about two? But wait a minute. They did ask that, and he didn't get angry. So the entire strategy didn't work. Look, Amri Leva lo ratach. Of course he was ratach. Kivan shamar lehu. What are you talking about? Gistra kamritz. Now they understand. Oh, so one would have been trefa. Two of them is even an avela. And now they even got more information than they bargained for. That's what you get when you're careful about blabbing. Excellent. So, given the Garmelo Gistu Gamritu, Hainu Ritkayu, that was the irritation. And now they have all of the information that they need. Omar Rabba Bar of Shila, Omar of Masa, Omar Shmua. If Ne'ekrat Sela Mi'ikra, say that the whole rib was pulled out, even if it wasn't the case that we said before, that we said, Richie, you weren't here, but we distinguish between the mortar and the pestle, which is the ball of the rib, and then the part of the vertebrae that it goes into, which is the mortar. And you could pull that out, and there's still part of the vertebrae left in. But suppose just the rib was pulled out, and none of the actual socket was missing at all. Furthermore, I've got three things I want to tell you. Furthermore, in the case of a gulgolet shenechpesa beruba, none of the gulgolet was choser. Remember, we talked about when we were dealing with the Mishnah in Ohalot, so there we were talking about chisaron shebeshidra, and we talked about a chisaron in the gulgolet. But what about if the skull was crushed and nothing was taken out, but the bone is simply crushed? Well, most of the skull is crushed, and we'll discuss what we mean by most of the skull. And, or, If Bosra Chofer Rova Kores Berubo, most of the meat that was the, covers the abdominal wall over the area of the Kores, any of these cases is a Trefa. So, okay, so then that would mean that Shmuel does not hold of the Gemara that we said up until now, because the Gemara up until now said that unless you have Rov, that was Ben Zakkai, whoever that was quoted as saying that you need to have six. You need to have basically six that are going to be ripped out, or according to Rabbi Yochanan, even if it's ripped out, you still need 12. So he seems to say even one is, it means he argues on all the shittas that we had until now. Ask the Gemara, Nekra Tzelami Kara Trefa, how could that be? V'raminu Shmuel himself actually clearly does not hold that, because here we have the Mishnah in Ayalis, and it says over there, Kamach Yisaron B'Shidra, Beit Shammai Omrim Shtecha, V'yachuliyot V'Beitel Omrim Chulya Achas, and it was Shmuel who said that the Mishnah in Olos is applicable to Trefas. Remember, we've been assuming all along this din of Chisaron B'Shidra, that the Machlokas over there in Olos about what would be Mitame in an Ohel, if the skeletal remains were in an Ohel, if, according to Beit Shammai, if two Chuyot would be Choser, only then would there not be Tumas Meis. Whereas according to Beis Hillel, even if one chulia was missing, translating that, as Shmuel did, into the dinim of trefas of an animal, it turns out that Beis Hillel is machmir, even though over there he's being mekel, because he says even one chulia missing would be enough to take off the din of tumas meis. Over here by trefas, he would be saying, if one chulia is missing, it would be enough to create a din of trefas. Now that was Shmuel. It was Omer of Yudam Shmuel that the din is v'chein l'trefa. But then that would mean that it's the chulia that makes it trefa, not that you could simply take out a tzela. And here, Shmuel is saying that even if the chulia was there, it would be trefa because you took out a rib. But then that doesn't make sense. If he's saying both pajama and betil's dinim are applicable to the dinim of trefas, well, I don't understand. Why not? It's two different cases. There we're talking about, it, over here he's talking about taking out a tzela without removal of a chulia. And there it's the Farish talking about the din of a chulia. Maybe it means removing the chulia without anything affecting over here an actual tzela. So it's saying two completely different dinim. Removing the chulia makes it a trefa, or removing the tzela without the chulia makes you trefa if the entire chulia was gone. What's so terrible about that? Well, what's terrible about that is it doesn't make physical sense. I mean, I understand that it's possible to take out a tzela without a chulia. So bishvayim a tzela below chulia, you could take out a rib, and if you take out the rib, that doesn't necessarily mean that you damage the vertebrae. But if you take out the vertebrae, that there's no rib that has any place to attach to. So what would you be talking about? The removal of a chulia without the rib. The removal of the chulia is removal of the rib. So bishlam etzela below chulia. I understand you could say that it's possible to talk about a case that Shmuel just spoke about over here where you take out the tzela without damaging the chulia. But what would it mean to take out a chulia without a rib? There's no such thing. Of course there is. Not all vertebrae have ribs, my darling. Maybe he's talking about Bishile Kafle, all the way at the end, after the rib cage. So then you have the chulios continuing on, and in that area, there's no ribs. So what's the problem? So Shmuel was saying two completely different halachas. Either a chulia in a place where there's no ribs would itself be a chisaron, or the missing tzela without having damaged the chulia. And that was his chiddush over here, which is a big chiddush. So, Maske Flora Voshaya, what Shmuel said, that the Machlokas of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel has exactly the same implications when it comes to the dinim of Trefas, so then I don't understand. If that's true, then this would be a fantastic case of Beit Hillel being Lechomra and Beit Shammai being Lekula. Because now, according to Beit Hillel, even one missing chulia is considered to be a treif. And according to Beit Shammai, you would need two missing chulias, right? So we have a list of all of the cases where Mikule Beit Shammai and Michumre Beit Hillel, this is not listed in it. Why not? Well, that's not a problem, says the Gemara. But first, let's just read Rav Hoshaya inside. If Shmuel is right, if he's right that we could apply the same halacha to treifas, then we should point out that this is a case in which Beit Hillel turns out to be lechurna. But since we don't have such a list, it's not included in the list, it seems that Shmuel is wrong, and that the dinim only apply to Tumas Meis, and has nothing to do with the dinim of treifas, right? Amar Le Rava, so Rava said to Rav Hoshaya, that's not, the only cases where we list that Beit Shammai is Lakula is when Beit Shammai was Lakula in the case as it was presented to Beit Shammai. And he gives a Hora, which is a Kula. The fact that we can apply a Hora of Beit Shammai into a different area, such as over here, we're applying Beit Shammai's Hora in the dinim of Tumas Beis to Treifus. And there it turns out that it's inverted, and that, in fact, his Chumra is a Kula. We don't include those cases. We include only direct Hora'ot of Beit Shammai l'Kula. And therefore, in this case, Ki Itchil, when the case was raised in front of Beit Shammai, it was raised in terms of what would be the din of Tumas Meis. And it was there that Beit Shammai said, well, it's going to be metame unless it's missing two chuliot. That was the chumrah. And since the Havelei Beit Shammai were chumrah in that case, it is not included in the list in idiot, which talks about kulei Beit Shammai, because actually there's a chumrah Beit Shammai. Now let's take a look at what Shmuel said. He mentioned three things. So we've analyzed the first one. Because we were in the middle of talking about chuliot, let's take a look at the next one. A gugolet shenechpesa beruba. Most of the skull was crushed. Now, what do you mean by most of the skull? So by Rabbi Yirmiyah, rov govha or rov hekeifa. Remember that the skull of the animal is basically facing you. You look at an animal and it's got, the skull goes all the way up to the top of its head. That is what protects its brain that goes down from there. So when you talk about most of the skull, do you mean most of that height? Or do you mean most of the hekef, most of the circumference of the entire skull, which would be much more take? Not clear. Okay, and then the third thing that Shmuel said. The third thing that Shmuel said was, basar hachofe rov hakores berubo. So if you're talking about the meat that actually covers over the abdominal area, that's like this big piece of basar, that is considered to be itself a new treifa if most of it was torn. Now remember, that there was a shita before, but it wasn't Shmuel shita. But there was a shita before that is what we mean by the teres hachitzon. And that this would simply be a repetition of that shita. So don't get confused. Right now we're going according to Shmuel, and he didn't define the teres hapnimis of the teres hachitzon in that fashion. So that means that Shmuel's come up with this new treifa of just the basar hachofa as rov hakeres. Now, the question is, what did he mean? Did he mean when he said beruba? What beruba? Torn beruba or nitula beruba? Most of it is missing, or it had a tear across most of it? A very different issue. Well, I mean, isn't that obvious? If the Mishnah says, Hakares hapnimit shenikva o shenikra rov achitzona, if most of it had been torn, and in Eretz Yisrael, remember, we learned the halacha. Amri be'amah rova mishmed Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Chanina. How do we define the keres hapnimit, and how do we define the keres chitzona? Actually, kol hakeres kulo is the keres hapnimit. And what do we mean by the keres chitzona? The basar hachofet, et rov hakares, and it says beferish in the Mishnah, the kares hachitzona that was nikra, and you're telling me the kares hachitzona is exactly the basra kofa as rov hakares. So you see that the din is nikra, not missing, but torn, is sufficient. So that shows that the kriya is sufficient, right? That what is Rav Ashi asking? Excuse me, sir. Rav Ashi is talking about Shmuel. Shmuel came up with this, to him, new idea that something that has nothing to do with the Keres Hachitzona or anything, a completely different thing, which is meat, and it's not part of the Keres, the din, according to him, is that that's a new treifa. Now, how can you bring a raya from Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina's report of how to define the Keres in Eretz Yisrael to Shmuel? Shmuel, remember, said a completely different definition. There we have Rabbi Yaakov Bar Nachmeni, Omar Shmuel, that how do we define the Keres HaPnimis is the area Mokom She'en Bo Milas. It was the area that didn't have the very thick wool type of lining, not to be confused with the cilia that we were talking about before, but it certainly hasn't anything to do with the meat on the abdominal wall. It's ridiculous. So when Shmuel says over here the meat, it has nothing to do with the definition of the kriya, which is tearing, of the Keres HaChitzona. It's a new treifa. And we're asking a perfectly reasonable question. When Shmuel presents this new treifa, and he said berubo, he didn't say what berubo. Torn berubo or missing berubo? And I still don't hear an answer from you. So you can't bring a raya from there. Okay, so we have so far no indication of what Shmuel held about this new treifas. And now we get to the next case, which was the closing case of the, which interestingly enough, the Rambam defines as the main definition of the word basar basada treifa, means literally the simple meaning of treifa means that it was ripped by, it was attacked, which is the drusa. So we list the drusa in the Mishnah as the last of the 18 cases in the Mishnah, which turn out to be sets. But anyway, so this would be the set of drusa. So Omer Yud Omer Rav, basically we need to define what size of an animal is the predator over here. So if you're talking about animals as opposed to birds, so be the hema min hazev ulamala. When you're talking about animals, it would have to be the size of a wolf and up. But anything smaller than that would not actually cause a drusa. So this sugya is a very scientifically problematic sugya. Because as we spoke about at the beginning of the discussion in the Mishnah of drusa, the way that most of the achronim that speak about this issue understand the sugya of drusa is that when the Gemara talks about ziara, it's a reference to infection. It's a reference to pathogens. It's not a reference to an actual poison. Now, there's very difficult pieces in the sugya coming up, as we're going to see, that make it clear that we're talking about some material you can actually see that's left on the surface in the case that there's a drusa, which doesn't really work out very well if we're not talking about a literal concept of an injectable poison. That is what the Gemara means. Now, it's difficult to believe that in a short period of 1,000 years or 2,000 years that there was that kind, even though Tosfos suggests that, you know, evolution proceeds much more rapidly than one thinks, and there's a lot of differences in 1,000 years or 2,000 years. You can't bring a raya from a situation in one epoch to another. It's a little hard to believe that there used to be these predators that actually injected poison. So, as I said, most explain that that we're not talking about an actual injection. So even though Lamaisa, you see some of the Rishonim understand that that's the reason that we're talking specifically about is Ze'ev, because Ze'ev has an actual poison, which again, we don't know anything about. So let's assume until we get to that piece, and we'll talk about it, and the piece in the sugya that implies that this is injectability as opposed to just the exposure to pathogens. So Omer of Yud Omer Rav, we're talking about an animal. It has to be a wolf size and up. And in birds, it has to be talking about a gnat's size and up. And we weren't quite sure what bird the gnat is, even though Rashi talks about, in French, he talks about a bird which seems to mean a kind of hawk. In any event, okay, it's not that Nogeas in the Halacha. We're going to talk about that issue as well. Oh, heck. I should have spoken about this before. Rabbos, I feel very bad. But there's an incredibly important piece that I left out that actually Rashi raises. So when we were talking about the dinim of the Nefula, and the questions of in whether it stood up or whether it walked, and the nafkamina between times that you need a bedika and other times where you don't need a bedika. So Rashi brings a very important bahag, the Baal Hilchot Gidolot. And the bahag says that in all of these cases where we need a bedika, we are not bekeen to make a bedika, because it used to be that all of the halachas and all of the realities were very much in the minds of the chachamim, and now we're not really bulky enough in the actual structure of things to make these kind of bedikas. They had an incredible expertise, which we don't have. Rashi says, I object to that bahag. Because since Ein L'dayan Ela Masha Einav Ro'ot, the whole point is that the Torah was given to be applied in all times and all circumstances. If people are going to say, well, I don't have that type, that level of judgment, so then we might as well just give up. I mean, the whole point is that we look at every generation with its bezdin as being that which defines the halacha for that generation. So how could the Bahag say, what, like the Torah runs out at a particular time when people no longer have a objective level of expertise? Like, who's giving these bechinas exactly, right? So Rashi says, I object to that, and the Ein L'dayan Ela Masha Einav Ro'ot, on condition that you get all of the input that's available in your times. So if you're going to be making a judgment about a bedika of that sort, you've got to get together not only rabbis, you have to get together experts in the field, the people that work with animals all the time. And so you gather together all of the butchers, you gather together all the veterinarians, you gather together all of the people in the university that are analyzing these different things, have a conference and decide what to do. But whoever heard of such a thing that we cannot make a bedika? And what do you think? Who makes the bedikas today and who doesn't? Well, the Ashkenazim, they can't make a bedika because they don't know anything. But the Sfardim, they always know, and they do what you got to do, and they have guts for guts. And in this case, of course we make a bedika. Whoever heard of such a thing? So this is a classic machlokas between the Rama and the Shulchan Aruch. But in any event, it's very nogeh, because I'm sure you've found many times where we say, nu, anan lo begin anan, in various halachas to say this type of things, and that itself is a Ramo idea. Anyway, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention that. Okay. So getting back to this case, Omer Avira Omerah. If you're talking about an animal, not a bird, so then it has to be the size of a wolf and up. If you're talking about a bird, it has to be from the size of a nitz and up. So when Rav says it has to be from the size of a ze'ev, what does he mean as opposed to what? As opposed to what type of animal would be something that would be a dores, but would not be would not cause treifas. So ilei melamute chatul, which we hope that he's excluding cats, being as in honor of Eilu treifas, I just have to be attacked by a cat and still be in the middle of my rabies shots, which may be the zero. It's amazing. Perfect for the sugya. So if he's coming to be mamayat the cat, which is why I won't have enough time to do Mishnayos, so I have to run to the Misrad HaBriyut again for my next rabies shot.
Rabbi Shear is always the cat's meow.
Help. So ilei melamute chatul. So it's said in the Mishnah. Tanina, I understand. What's he adding to the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Drusat HaZe'ev. So that means not something that's smaller than a wolf. I mean, it's true that the Yerushalayim alley cats are bigger than wolves, but not the Netanya alley cats. And therefore, anyway, the Mishnah is definitely Mumayit the cats. So, I mean, he's not just repeating the Mishnah, is he? V'chitem, and maybe you'll tell me, okay, I'll tell you what Rav's Kiddush is. Rav is coming to tell me that the Ze'ev Begasa, you might have thought, the Mishnah, you could have said that maybe it's talking about a Daka. So a Ze'ev is big enough to cause a drusa for a sheep or a goat, but it's not big enough to cause a drusa of a bull. And Rav is coming to tell me, you know, Ze'ev is an any animal, even in a Gaza. But non Rabbi Yehuda and Drusa Ze'ev Bedaka Udrusa Ribe Gaza. So if Rabbi Yehuda explains, I mean, the Pashtus is that Rabbi Yehuda is explaining, not that he's arguing. So he's explaining that when the Tanakhama said a Ze'ev, he was referring Dafka not to a Gaza. He was referring Dafka to a Daka. So then if that's the case, then it means that the Tanakhama was coming to tell me that it's Dafka a Ze'ev from a Daka. But that means that I do not need Rav to tell me this, because if Rav says, in the case of a behema as opposed to a bird, he was referring to the case that is in the Mishnah. So he was referring Dafka to behema Daka. So then, if the Mishnah said that, so then why did he tell me that nothing less than a Ze'ev can actually cause a Drusa if that's what the Mishnah said? Now, maybe you'll tell me, Rav Yehuda wasn't explaining the Tanakhama. Maybe Rav Yehuda was arguing with the Tanakhama, in which case we would still need Rav to tell me what the din would be about a Ze'ev in the Gaza. So v'chitema Rav Yehuda miflag polik. He was not explaining. It could be that the Tanakhama says that a Gaza, even a behema Gaza, he didn't say beferish, but even a behema Gaza could be drusa al yedei a Ze'ev, and then Rabbi Yehuda was saying, no, it would only be in the Daka, and then if that would be the case, so then maybe the reason that the Tanakhama said the Ze'ev is needs Rav to say, it also is the smallest size that could even cause a drusa for a behema Daka, so that would be one way to understand Rav. The Tanakhama was talking about a Gaza, and Rav is coming to tell me the same thing would be true about a Daka. And even a Daka would need to have a wolf size. But the problem is, Omer Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefet, Omer Rabbi Lo, that no, Rabbi Yehuda actually was coming not to argue, but to explain. Lo bar Rabbi Yehuda, Ela lefaresh divrei chachamin. In which case, Rabbi Yehuda is there, and now we're back to our original question. And that if that's what the Mishnah has told us, so then what does Rav tell us? What's your problem exactly? That Rav didn't hold of Rabbi Yehuda bar Yefet. So Rav didn't hold of Rabbi Yehuda bar Yefet. Who cares what Rabbi Yehuda bar Yefet? Rav can argue on Rabbi Yehuda bar Yefet. And maybe Rav also, Rabbi Yehuda was arguing, and Rav was coming to explain the din of a Ze'ev Begasa. So Gavra, Karamit, I understand. This is a problem. Rav is b'chuyif to accept it. It's true. Rabbi Yehuda bar Yefet holds that Rabbi Yehuda was only coming to explain. Rav holds that Rabbi Yehuda was actually being chaylik. The Tanakhama was saying that a Ze'ev is actually a Doris on a Gaza. And now, when the Tanakhama said Ze'ev, it was talking about Agasa. So Rav had to say that if you're talking about any animal, even the behema, even a small animal, you would need to have something the size of a Ze'ev. We wouldn't have known that from the Mishnah. We do know it according to Rabbi Yoma bar Yefet, because Rabbi Yehuda explained it. Rav doesn't hold Rabbi Yoma bar Yefet. That's one approach. Or, if you don't want to make a machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yoma bar Yefet, there's still a way to explain things. Iboy tema. It could be that Rav agrees with Rabbi Yoma bar Yefet, and that Rabbi Yehuda was only coming to explain the Tanakhama. And the truth is that when the Tanakhama said a Ze'ev, it was actually referring even to Dakas, and it was saying a cat cannot make even a behema daka a drusa. So why do I need Rav? Because without Rav, I would have thought maybe the Mishnah is not coming to give an absolute definition. The Mishnah was coming to give you an example of the type of situation that is most common. And since the most common predator that you're going to have that's going to mamish come and attack your animals is a wolf that gets in among the sheep. I mean, that's like the classic case. So it talks about the classic case. But the truth is, in an unusual case, you have this poor guy walking down the street minding his own business and some damn cat comes along and attacks you. So maybe over there would also be considered to be a doret. So now the tema work of the milter katani. Therefore, Rav says, no, I mean the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says a Ze'ev, it means a Ze'ev even for a small animal. It's the smallest predator possible. Anything less than that, even if it attacks a small sheep, is still going to not be a drusa. Okay, so we have two possibilities in understanding Rav. Amrav Amram, Amrav Chassid. The truth is that if you've got a small child, so you have a gedi or a tle, so you've got a small goat or you've got a small lamb, and these are tiny. So then a drusata chatul, or the drusa of a nimiya, Rashi uses the word marten in French, which could be a marten. So if you have something that's small, like a cat or a marten, is enough to cause a drusa in the case of a gedi and a tle. And a drusat chulda, the ofot, or you could even have a rat, or some used to translate, now it's become in modern Hebrew, we're talking about a rat, but it was originally used for a weasel. So when it comes to a bird, even a rat would be enough to create a drisa. As to Gemara, how could we just say that if it says in the Braita, Meitve drusat chatul meitz nimiya achetina gave lechala. If either of those, or any of those, did a drisa, it's not a drisa. It would have to actually cause a puncture that might have actually punctured the intestines or something. If it didn't get all the way through, just the fact that it was clawed, which is the din of a drisa. Remember, a drisa doesn't cause actual damage. A drisa causes death through a new trephus called drusa without its actually causing any noticeable physical damage to a particular organ. But when it comes to the chatul netzur nemiya, the din is that it had to have actually penetrated the abdominal cavity and gotten to something that would have been affected, like the intestines or something, right? But there's no din of drisa. And you say there is a din of drisa if you're talking about a tiny animal. Excuse me? Does Breita make sense the way you're understanding it? I mean, you really think that the Nates is also not Doris? I mean, how come the Mishnah says the Nates is Doris? But it's not in Drusus on Nates. So obviously, there is this new, you're ignoring a case. So that means in the Mishnah, we were talking about Ofot. And in the Breita, we were talking over here about Gidayim and Tilaim. Fine. That makes sense, but it's still a problem to Rav Chisda, because Rav Chisda says that Gedim and Tla'im can actually suffer drisa by a cat. And now you're saying, Nabraita, that no, if it's an animal, not a bird, it cannot. So how do you explain that? He said it had to penetrate all the way into vital organs. Well, it's true. The Braita is not like Rav Chisda, but Rav Chisda has another Tana. Who the Omar Ki'ai Tana Rav Chisda holds like the following Braita? The Tanya. Baribi Omer. When we say that Ein Drusa, Lo Amru Ein Drusa, L'Bamokim She'ein Matzilin. The only time that we say that a cat is not able to cause Drusa is where there's no one that's fighting the cat. And nobody's trying to save this animal that it's upset at from the cat. So then it doesn't go wild and it doesn't have this ziara. Masha'in came b'makom she'yesh matzilin. If somebody is getting it angry, it is going to have drisa and it's going to give out, again, its supposed poison. But that means that we're talking about the difference in the emotional state of the cat, which has nothing to do with the pathogens in its claws. And therefore, this is very difficult to tie into the way that the apologists, which include many of the experts today in Treifas, unless, look, it may mean, but we're going to see it gets worse than this. But so far, you could say that it means perhaps the amount of its claw that it extends, right? So it can sheathe its claws if it's a friendly cat, and it can expose its claws. And according to how angry it gets, that's how much it will expose. Maybe. But things get worse as we continue for the scientific explanations over here. So anyway, so what we could say is that Rav Chisda is going according to the Tanakhama, according to the Tanakh the Braita that says, where do we say that there's no drisa for cats? That's where nobody's arguing with the cat. But cats are very opinionated. And if you try to stand up to the cat, oh, now you're talking about the cat lady. Let me tell you something. B'makom she'yesh matzilin, yesh drusa. And then the cat gets really angry, and then it can actually be lethal. B'makom she'ein matzilin ein drusa? I don't like that answer too much, because then you're saying, if nobody is fighting the cat, then there's no drisa. But we have an actual case in which there was a tarnagolet. We had this hen in Rav Kahana's house, and a cat was chasing this hen. Now, the hen did not want to be eaten by this cat, and so the hen ran away into a room and slammed the door in front of the cat. Ha! The cat comes to the door, and he's bangs on the door with his open paw, and when they looked at the door, they saw there were 5 spots of red poison on that door. Oh, man, this was a hell of a cat. Anyway, but it's clear that now the Gemara is talking about bringing a raya to Ziara and not the pathogens, which don't leave 5 spots. So we've got more problems. Well, Zishtakechal al-Khamisha Kurte Dama. So there were like 5 spots of blood on this door. So obviously there was something that cat had left on that door. And there weren't people that were rescuing the chicken. So how do you explain that? That's not a problem. The cat gets mad if the chicken tries to save itself also. It doesn't. It has to be somebody else. It's talking about an alliance, specifically an attack that is through the allies. If you try to protect yourself, it gets angry. But wait a minute. What about the Rabbanan who were in Chalak on Baribi, and they said that a cat cannot have drisa? How did they explain those 5 spots left on the door? Maybe how do we explain? We never said that it doesn't have all kinds of garbage in its claws. We just said it's not going to be fatal. That's all that we said. Ziara itle. Yes, of course it does have this problem. but locally zero. It doesn't burn, so to speak. It is not going to end up causing a trachis. Nobody's arguing about the question of whether it's no fun getting clawed by a cat. The only question is that considered to be a mock-up trachis or not? That is the question. Now, you can answer otherwise. Ikari Amri. Some say that that bright that we said, that it's not considered to be a trefa if it was either the nates or the nemaya or the chatul, is actually baribi. Tanya, baribi, omer, lo amru yesh drusa, ela b'mokam sheyesh matzili. The only case that we say that a chatul has a drusa is if there are matzili. Avu b'mokam she'in matzili, if there's nobody there that's being matzil, so then ein drusa. So there's only difference over here is that the first way we said it is where Baribi was saying it's the only time that the cat is not considered to be a dores is if there are no matzilim. So the only point is that that sort of implies that according to the Rabbanan, there's never considered to be a drisa by a cat, because they argue on Baribi. And Baribi says, well, it's only if there's no matzilin. The Ikari Amri is saying that there is, according to the Rabbanan, the opposite of Baribi would be, is that the Rabbanan hold that a cat always, even if there's no matzilin. And in this version, he's saying only if there are matzilin. And the Rabbanan are saying, even if there are not matzilin, there's drusa. So the implication is the difference between the two lashonos. Fine. So the Rabbanan hold, according to this, that it is always going to have a drusa. So now we have Rav Chisda going according to the Rabbanan. Because according to this new lashon, Ikari Amri, the Rabbanan are more machmir. And therefore it works out better for Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda is going according to the Rabbanan. Anyway, but even if this is the lashon, it's still a problem, because b'makom she'ein matzilin ein drusa. So what are you saying? According to Baribi, there's no way that there's going to be a drusa without matzilin. And we ask the same question on Baribi in this fashion: v'ahi tarnegolet avoy be'rav kahana derot chatul batreva oli tuna v'istachi dosha ba'ape. So anyway, the chicken runs away, slams the door in the face of the cat. This was, they made movies out of this event. It's called Tom and Jerry. And Ishtakachale, Chamisha Kurte Dama. They found on that door five spots where there was clearly poison. And again, same answer. Except this time, of course, it's going in the opposite direction for Baribi. Hatzalat Atzmanami Ke Hatzalat Acherim Damya. So they actually asked straight up, from Rav. Rav Kahana asked Rav. So, what's the bottom line? Yesh drusa l'chatul, or ein drusa l'chatul? What's the bottom line with these cats? So, Rav says to Rav Kahana, chatul, even a chulda has a drisa. So, a different time, as Tosva says, and they asked him, well, what's the din of a chulda? Does a rat have drisa or not? And then he said, even a cat doesn't have drisa. And then a different time, they had asked, how about the halacha of a chatul and a chulda? Do they have drisa or not? And Ramet, yes, a cat has drisa, but a rat doesn't. This is a bit confusing, to say the least, but it's actually not a problem. Velo kashu. Because we're talking about different cases. When Rav says even a chulda has drisa, he was saying, look, if you're talking about a bird, I mean, the way you asked the question, I have to tell you, yes, a rat has drisa in the terms of a bird. When he said even a cat does not have drisa, he was referring to a fully grown sheep or goat. So Imre Ravravin. And when he said that a cat does have drisa, and a rat does not have drisa, he was talking about little kids or little lambs. Over there, a cat actually can be dores, and a weasel cannot be Doris. If it's a weasel or a rat, it cannot be Doris. Whoa. Okay, I think we'll have to leave it here. We've run out of time in the sugya, but we did pretty good. Okay, so we spoke about some very fundamental issues. Before we got to Drusa, the question of what is considered to be the amount of knowledge that you need in order to be able to make a bedika, and in cases where a bedika was necessary. We revisited the question of the bosser that's called for the Rov HaKaris, and revisited also the din of the missing chasera. And we added a new chasera, which was even just the rib. So we went back to the Mishnah and Eilis again, spoke about the klal of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, when it's considered to be Mikulei Beit Shammai and Mikulei Beit Hillel. And we spoke about the din of Shvura or Akura. When it comes to the ribs, we spoke about the different shitas and the differences between when it might even be metame michaim, according to Rav, because it's considered to be a gistra in the case that the entire area was removed. Both sides, both ribs on both sides. And we talked about the part of the vertebrae that would go missing and where it's considered to be a trefa, where it's not even considered to be a trefa, and where it's considered to even be metame michaim as a nevela. Ooh, it's been a busy daf. Okay, Rabosai, wishing you a wonderful day. Besurot, tovot, stay away from those alley cats. See you later, then. It's a good thing Dr. Barry's not here. I don't think he would have objections to our cat comments. Never understood that relationship, but okay. Go to the...